It's my privilege and honour to be with you this morning. It's not the first time that I've been to the Heath, been on many occasions in the past, anonymous. I used to sit on the right-hand side, up in the balcony, a number of years ago when I was studying in Cardiff University. So it's a real privilege to be with you this day. We pray for you as a church in Narberth. That may surprise you. And we pray for your minister, especially Wynne. And perhaps coming here today is an outfolding of those prayers. It's good to go to somewhere where you've prayed for and to ask God's blessing upon. And because there's been such a rich history here, and because you've had so many great ministers, I make no apology today for preaching another man's sermon. But before you put your head in your hands, I want to tell you that this sermon I'm to preach is from the greatest man who has ever lived, and that's according to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that no one greater was born of a woman than of John the Baptist. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness of that light. And his message is a message which deals with our greatest problem. And it's a message which also gives us the greatest solution. It's a very simple message. It's found in John chapter 1 and verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. There was a poster outside one particular church or chapel, and it said this: it's about family, it's about style, it's about giving, it's about fun, it's about the best way to please everybody, it's about caring, it's about then living a happy life. And I'm not here to deny the blessings which the Lord Jesus Christ can give to each and every one of us in this world. But when John came to preach that message and gospel concerning the Lord Jesus, it's not firstly a message this morning that your business will be well or that your marriage will be happy. His message is of a far greater importance and significance. It deals with sin, the greatest problem in this world. And it deals with the solution of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And the message that we have to preach and to communicate to people this day is not, you see, an economic one. It's not an environmental one. It's not a social one. But it's one which deals with our sin. And John was one who saw clearly, like no other preacher, something that we do not hear often this day, a clear message of the things concerning Jesus Christ. And I want to preach to you this morning simply from this text and to speak of what John, first of all, saw. That John saw something this day that many people could not see and do not see this moment in time. You find it there in that 29th verse. John then is baptizing by Bethabara. He is by the River Jordan, and he sees the Lord Jesus Christ coming to him. But when John sees the Lord Jesus coming to him, he sees something no one else can see. They see a man. They see Jesus of Nazareth. But John sees something else. He sees a lamb. On Jordan's bank, the Baptist cried. And he saw what people cannot see this day. When people consider the Lord Jesus, they tell you many things about him. They tell you that he is a good man. He was a miraculous man. They tell you that he was a supernatural man. They tell you he was a good teacher. They tell you he was a very spiritual being. They tell you he was the apex of all forms of spirituality. They'll tell you that he was a genius. They tell you he was one of a royal nature. But at the end of the day, they only ever see a man. And John saw a lamb. And unless you see the Lord Jesus as a lamb, you'll never know the blessings this morning of the Savior. There are many who see him as a model, as an example. There are many who consider him as the greatest which has ever lived. But at the end of the day, that will not save you, and it's not our message. And you may say, well, I come to the heath. I'm well taught. I know something, that Jesus Christ is more than a man. You don't just see him as a great man. You see him this morning as the God-man. But unless you see the Son of God as the Lamb of God, you'll never know him as the Savior in your life. You need to see what people just cannot see. You know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know that great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh and he was seen by angels. But you must see him like sadly many don't this day, even in evangelical churches and perhaps so-called evangelical people. They will tell you something about Jesus. They'll tell you he's the Son of God. They'll tell you he's begotten of the Father. But they just can't see him. Even at Calvary, they just can't see him as a lamb taking away the sin of the world. They can't see him standing in another's place. They can't see him dying an atoning death. And our hymn books are devoid of the blood. And our reading is devoid of a lamb. You can know him as the Son of God. But you need to know him as the Lamb of God. And John saw something that people just can't see today. And John saw something else that people can't see today. What a preacher. He saw him taking away the sin of the world. He saw sin. He saw this world lost in sin. He saw the burden of sin. And there are many places and there are many people who will tell you about your guilt and your dirty conscience. And they'll tell you about the manifestations of things that you've done wrong in your life. But they cannot anymore tell you about sin. And there's a quietness from the pulpit. Not to mention that small word, because it's offensive to men and women. Sin's offensive to God. And there may be places which no longer preach that there's such a thing as sin. John saw it. And he saw it from Jordan's bank throughout the world. And wherever you go on your holiday, wherever you've been to in this world, I can assure you there's one thing which is always present. No matter how hot, how cold, how dark, how light, there's sin. And John saw it. And he could see it on the Lamb of God. And not just that. John saw something which preachers can no longer see today. He saw, you see, what Jesus took away. Everybody can preach to you what Jesus can give. He can give you love. He can give you peace. He can give you joy. He can give you meaning in life. He can give you purpose. He can give you everlasting life. Everybody talks about what Jesus gave to this world. Jesus gave to this world education, institutions. Jesus gave to this world the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gave us an example. Jesus gave us a model to follow. Jesus gave us that great ethical principles by which we live. Jesus gave us, you know, hospitals. Jesus gave. The greatest thing that Jesus did for you was what he took from you. He took your sin. That was your greatest need and your greatest problem. There's a barrier between you and God. And the Lord Jesus Christ came, the blessed news this morning. He can do so much for you. But your greatest need is what he takes from you. And he saw it. He could see that wonderful truth. As far as the east is from the west, so has he removed your transgressions from us. He took them upon that cross. He took them into that wilderness. He took them into hell. He took them into that abyss. We sing that great hymn, living he loved me. Dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Now, John saw what people can no longer see. But I want to tell you something else this morning. John saw what others had also seen. Now, I know I've come from that little place of Narberth, and I'm coming to this city. But I believe this morning, in my mind and in my heart, that there are many places of worship in this city, but they've not heard what you've just heard for the last 10, 15 minutes. They've not heard of this great taking away. They've not heard of a lamb. They've not heard of sin. And you may think that that message is a bit unique. And sadly, it may be a bit unique today. And it may have been unique in John's time. But John is only preaching what others have also seen. And they saw it hundreds of years before. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And Isaiah saw it. He saw it 700 years before. And now John sees it. He only sees what others have also seen. He was a child brought up in a Levitical family. John's father was a priest, Zechariah. His mother was also of that priesthood. And he must have known of what it was, the customs, the law, the teaching. And when he sees the Lord Jesus Christ coming towards him, he knows exactly who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And he sees him as that atoning lamb. Now there was a ritual on the Day of Atonement where two goats were brought to the brazen altar outside the temple. And on that Day of Atonement, the high priest would take one of those goats and would slit the throat of that goat, and that blood would gush over his garments, and a bowl would be put before that goat where the blood went into a bowl. And then the high priest would put his hands into that bloody bowl. And then he would place his hands upon the other goat, the scapegoat. And the blood would run down its head and its neck and on to its back. And then there was the time when they would tie a scarlet robe over that scapegoat so that people could identify it and see it. And if you were in Jerusalem on that Day of Atonement, there would be then that procession where they would put a rope upon that goat and they would take it through the streets of Jerusalem. And if you were a child and you could say to your father, what does this mean? Your father could say to you, our sins are being borne away. And then they would take him outside the city. One day, 2 days, and 3 days they would let him go. They would throw stones at the goat until he went over to the horizon. And then the priest would come back to that city. And he would say and stand on the steps of the temple, our sins have been borne away. Now there was a day, another procession. And if you were there when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, when they scourged him and beat him and mocked him and placed a crown upon his head, and they led him through the street of that city, if there was anyone there that day with understanding, The child could say to the father, "Father, what does this mean?" The father would say, "Our sins are being borne away." And they took him outside the city and they crucified him and killed him and they hid him in a tomb. And one day, 2 days, and on the third day, he stood on the steps of history and he proclaimed to his church, "Your sins have been borne away." He saw it. Could see it. Can you see it? He saw what the prophets saw. He only saw what the Apostle Paul also saw. When he could write, you see, in that epistle of the Romans, that he was set forth as a propitiation for our sins. He saw what the Apostle had written about. He who had no sin and was without sin became sin for you and me. He died for the ungodly. He stood in our place. He saw only what the Apostle John had seen. And he became a propitiation for the sins of the whole world. He saw what the great hymn writers have also seen. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. He could see it. Now, I may not be the greatest theologian. And you may not be the greatest theologian. And you may not be able to read all those heavy little books that they write these days, but it's very simple in my little mind. A prophet Isaiah saw it. The apostle Paul saw it. John the disciple saw it. John the Baptist saw it. Great men. I see it with them. I join them. It's simple as that. Only preaching to you what others have seen. But you know this, there's something else this morning I want you to consider. And it's this, is that John saw something that many people in this world want to see. There are many, perhaps even this morning, here in the Heath, definitely in the city of Cardiff, if only they knew, that there was this wonderful message of good news being spoken and preached, that they could come in their guilt and their burden that they have in their life and in their heart, and they so much long to want to see the sin of the world and that sin upon their shoulders being taken away. The Lord Jesus said these words. He said this. He said, "Do you know there are many prophets and many righteous people who have desired to see what you see this day. And there have been many in this world." I come from a town in Carmarthen. My family grew up on the banks of the Towy. And we got pictures. You may think it's strange, but they're in the 50s. They're coracle people. But before that fishing season started, there would be that ceremony where they would take their pitch coracles and they would put it on the Towy and they would burn it to placate the river god. And there are many people who want to be right with God, placate God, no barrier between them and God. There are many people this day who know something of the enormous load and the barrier that sin is between them and God. You need to see, you long to see this ugly, vile, black stench of sin being taken away in all of its ugliness. That's what he sees. He sees it now, this sin, in all its manifestation, in all its form, in its very essence, that burden. People carry burdens. People carry that burden of unforgiveness. They carry the burden of abuse. They carry the burden of their uncleanliness. Do you know, if you could only see what John saw, that the Lord Jesus took the sin of the world, and there is no sin that you've committed this day which he did not take upon that tree and upon that cross. There is not anything that you've done which is so unique that somehow it was missed in his atoning work. He took it all. Every little, every major, every modern, every old, every type, every vice. He took it all. In all its form, the enormous load of human guilt was on my Savior laid. And don't you think that you've got a sin in your life that somehow was not atoned for on Calvary? And when we go to glory, it won't just be, you see, that there will be people from every tongue and from every nation and from every tribe. There'll be a people who've been saved and redeemed from every sin and every vice, in all its blackness, in all its ugliness, in all its rebellion against God. And you this morning, that burden, the guilt, the shame, the debt, the punishment, the estranging before God and yourself. Don't you want to see it? If only you could see it being taken from you and placed upon another, and no more, as the waters cover the sea, the Lord has taken it away. He hasn't just put it out of sight. He hasn't brushed it under the carpet. He hasn't now just held it there to come and haunt you in a couple of years' time. He has taken it into the abyss and into hell. He took it. When do you want to see that? There are people, the greatest need. And there's this great, great solution. The blood can cleanse. I want you this morning, first of all, you know, if you've never done this in your life, I want you to come to Calvary and to think of that death of the Lord Jesus. You say, I know he's not a man. He's a man, but he's more than a man. He's the God man. He's the Son of God. But I need you to see, and you must see it. He is not just the Son of God. Many will preach you that. He is the Lamb of God. And you may know your theology, and you may read your books, and you know your plans, and you can systemize it all. I'm not asking you to look at a plan. I'm not asking you now to look at words. I'm asking you to look at a Lamb. There's a difference. And you must do that. And by faith, you say, I see the Lamb of God. God had a son. You accept that. Can you accept this next point? That God must have a lamb. God had to have a lamb to take you. And you come and you see it. Oh, to see what John had seen. To see what Paul and Isaiah and others seen. But I need you to come also this morning, not just in faith. If you're a Christian, could you come with that great affection of heart and of love, that you realize that it was for your sin and not his own he atoned for. And you consider him the spotless Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God. You consider him once again, of all the things that your heart should mourn for, your heart should break for, and that your heart should be thankful to God for, or to preach these messages, to mention the blood, to go to Calvary. And our eyes are still drying, we're still unmoved. Surely there must be something that you could say or to thank him for all that he's done. But there's something else too. I need you as a congregation and as a church and as a people in these days. John is not just making a suggestion to you. He is coming now with this great exaltation. Behold. 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 Come and see him. Come and see the Lamb. Many can't. Many congregations can no longer see him or preach him. But you must see him as such. And perhaps you just look into your heart. And you look to yourself. And you're looking to others. And you're looking to your failings. And you're looking to your own strength. John says to you, in a word of obedience this morning, behold the Lamb. You must take your eyes and look to him. You must do it. You look to yourself, you'll be doomed. But you look to him. There's the Savior. And we desperately need these days. We can say that as a church, yes, as individuals, but as a church, when we look at Calvary, we see a Lamb. We see him. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away sin of the world. We'll sing.